Hey guys, it's Mina. Hope you are all staying home and staying safe out there. Even though we don't have any games to watch, we still have plenty of great podcasts to listen to. One of my favorites is That's What She Said with Sarah Spain. Last week, Sarah talked to former NBA player turned social media sensation Rex Chapman. This week, she talks to Chris Guillebeau, who has traveled to every country in the world before he turned 35. You can find That's What She Said wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to the Mina Kime Show featuring Lenny, the only NFL podcast where one of the hosts refuses to wear pants when he's on a Zoom call, or a shirt, or shoes. That's Lenny. I'm Mina Kimes. Joined, I was about to say as always for some reason, but not as always, frequently.
That's what you wish. You wish.
Joined by Dominique Foxworth, who I hope is wearing pants right now. We were doing this on Squadcast, and you had your camera open when you called in, and it was a super old man moment because you didn't know you had your camera open, and it was really close to your face. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, no. I knew the camera was open.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could see the Squadcast puts it up. Like, it puts your picture right there. I knew it was open.
The worst is when you do a call, and it's not like with me. It's with someone you actually care about impressing, and you're the only person who has the video. So it's like everybody's blacked out. And it's just like, hey, guys. Like,
I don't mind it, honestly. I feel like it's a gift. They're welcome.
Oh, wow. Okay. The other worst thing is, this is like the Zoom comedy hour, folks. You know when you're on Zoom. For me, the worst, though, is when you're on a call and you're like, oh, I'll get up and go get that. And then you remember if you get up, everyone's going to see your lower half, right?
Yeah, that's just you. That's just you. I mean, it's just shorts. I actually put on some pants today, which was nice. I had to do some yard work, so put on some pants. I didn't want to get all itchy.
Yard work. Wow. I went out today. I went into the world to pick up
what?
A package. I know. So I had on jeans. I was
Did you go gloves, face mask? What'd you do?
Oh yeah. Well, I did gloves and face. We'll get to the NFL talk soon, folks. I do gloves and face masks, but then like I was like, this face mask is too serious. I got to look a little more casual. So I put on like a scarf around it and then put a hoodie up. And I look like the world's like worst bank robber. Like I'm about to like rob, I don't know, a Zara.
I don't know
or something.
Why you felt like adding more coverings was going to make it look more casual. Like that makes it more look like sketchier. Like I'd be more concerned. Like everyone has on a face mask. It's nothing to be ashamed of, Mina.
I know. I think that we're all buying into the social contract right now where nobody's looking at anyone weird, no matter how stupid everyone looks. You know, it's like we're all accepting of each other's various looks.
Maybe we can hold on to that going forward.
Probably not. Well, while our lives are very strange right now, the lives of NFL teams.
What a transition. Oh my gosh. Have
really not changed because the draft is coming. It is April. We are a couple weeks out from the NFL draft. And on this show, we will be covering the draft. We're going to do a mock draft probably the week of. Going to do prospects with, this is exciting. Spencer Hall is coming back for that, which is always great. But until then, you're going to have to make do with Dominique Foxworth, who has graciously agreed to go through an exercise with me that I always go through before the draft, which is I go team by team. I look at not only their needs coming into the offseason, but kind of who they acquired in free agency and try to evaluate, okay, what do they still need? What are still the holes? Because I think, you know, that when you go into the draft, I like to have that backdrop in mind. That's always my first step, Dominique, before I really do mocks and start going through, you know, the prospects and how they fit in certain teams is just actually thinking through what do these teams need.
Cool. I need a new t-shirt because I'm not going to deal with these insults while I'm wearing your dabbing Andy Reid t-shirt. I just feel like I'm getting played right now.
Thank you for that. It was very nice of you. I forgot to say thank you earlier in the day. I saw you wore it on Get Up. For those who don't know, you can buy a t-shirt with an image of dabbing Andy Reid that I painted that Home Field is the brand. They're selling them. All of the proceeds go to a food bank in Kansas City. Let's start with Kansas City then. Let's start with the AFC West. How about that? A team that does not have a lot of needs. How about that? Yeah. Another natural transition. You know, like all the good teams, it is interesting. There's some good teams with a glaring need, right? Like, I don't know, the Patriots, for example. But there. And actually, you know what? Let me rephrase that. I do think the Chiefs have a glaring need. They have one that's glaring. Ooh. I think there's a few needs, but when you go roster, you know, down the depth charts on both sides, there is one position group that really jumped out to me as still be, there are two that I would classify as areas of needs, maybe. But one really jumped out. And for me, that was cornerback.
I agree with you. Cornerback, I guess maybe guard because they lost Wisniewski, but I feel like cornerback, 80% of the teams in the league every year need corners and O-linemen. Like, that is a perpetual need. There just aren't enough good ones in the league. So that they could use an upgrade there, but they aren't as bad as some of the teams out there.
No. But, you know, having, I don't know, a couple of I mean, they're, I guess linebacker is another area I thought. Oh, by the way, is Bashaud Breeland, they didn't re-sign him, right? He's still out there, I think.
Yeah.
At cornerback. Because they lost Kendall Fuller, who went back to Washington. But I wouldn't be surprised if they draft a corner. And then linebacker was the other position group that kind of jumped out to me. You know, just like some of the signings haven't really worked out.
I mean, corner is specifically important to that team. And I mean, it's important to everyone in this kind of pass happy league. But we're assuming since they got all their receivers back, they have pretty good offensive line, and they have that damn quarterback. We're assuming that they're going to be scoring a lot of points. So those corners are going to get a lot of work. So, I mean, I'd also like to have like a pass rusher opposite Clark. That'd be nice, but they aren't just like destitute at any particular position. Even corner isn't like awful, but I mean, if there was somewhere that I felt was most important to upgrade, even over linebacker, because you can find ways. I think there are ways to scheme around protecting your linebacker. You can't do nothing to protect your corners, or that kind of upsets all of your defense.
Yeah, and Juan Thornhill should be back by the time the season starts, back in the secondary. Oops. But yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised if they target. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Chris Jones, by the way. Like, we just assumed he would get tagged and traded, but it kind of looks like they might let him play the contract out at the moment, or the tag out, rather.
I appreciate that you don't listen to me, because I never say Chris Jones's name, but cool. Go ahead.
I was derailed by my own email sound there, so I kind of got it. Nothing on offense really jumps out. I mean, they might draft another. I can see them picking up a running back or something, but I think it's defense. Yeah, and it's defense that took such a leap forward last year under Spagnuolo. I think that would be the only hesitation, is like, there's the defensive scheme is complex. Right, with that secondary, although Thornhill, you could really see him picking it up as the year went along and playing such a key role in that. And that was like this massive concern of mine going into the postseason, but they managed to figure it out. So they're fine. A team that got a lot better in free agency, but still has what you could perceive as a gaping hole, depending on how you think they should handle it, is the Chargers. Right. I am talking, of course, about guard. No, just kidding. I'm playing a quarterback. What do you want them to do at quarterback?
I've been advocating for Cam Newton. So any team that can grab Cam Newton, I feel like it's worth a shot. I think that he might have higher contract expectations that are out there. So if he's expecting some sort of commitment long term and a lot of money, I would fall back on that.
Who's giving that to him at a certain point? I don't understand the Cam Newton thing.
I don't know who's going to give it to him, but I know that he can expect it. Like, he's a 30-year-old former MVP and was playing really well before he got hurt. So, like, I'm not surprised that he expects it. He looks around the league at quarterbacks that are not as good as him getting paid. I'm not surprised that he expects it. And I'm also not surprised that nobody wants to give it to him. But I'm sure his price will come down eventually, and maybe he'll take a small one-year deal to try to reestablish his value somewhere. And there's no better place to do it if you need weapons. I guess the offensive line will be a problem for a player like Cam, who's been getting hit a lot in his career. Their offensive line is an issue. If we're speaking of gaping holes, that's one that they have there. But otherwise, the Chargers is a good place to go. They have a good, talented, very, very good defense, and they have all the weapons a guy like Cam can need.
Yeah, and they upgraded at the line, right? They signed Brian Bulaga, which is one of my favorite signings of free agency. They traded Russell Okung for Trey Turner, so they need a left tackle. I mean, this is why I've wanted them to sign Cam. Again, we don't know what Cam's demands are. I still don't quite understand how he can continue to make the demands if there's no team out there. But because I would love for them to take a tackle a high, you know, they're picking super high. They could even probably like trade down a little bit and still get one of the good tackles. But at six, you got to think they can get, whether it's like an Andrew Thomas, a Jedrick Wills, a Tristan Wirfs. We'll talk about those guys later. You got to think they have their pick of the litter for their left tackle of the future.
There's no question that they're getting a tackle, and those are the three guys before it drops off. And what about Wirfs? Like, that man ran a sub 5 40 yard dash. That's absurd. And he's like got some lifting records at Iowa that always puts out monster offensive linemen. I watched a lot of his tape in the last couple weeks as I'm working on my own mock drafts, and he doesn't necessarily play as aggressively as you would want all the time, but I don't know. I'm a sucker. I get seduced by those crazy freak athlete combine numbers. Athletes.
Did you see the video of him like jumping out of a pool and landing?
Possible? I wanted to buy an NFL team just so I could draft him at that moment. It's not possible. I'm a sucker for, I would be the GM who would just get sucked in. Oh, you ran a 4-2? Sign him up. Give him to me.
So tackle's the big one. I think that would even take a guard as well. They tagged Hunter Henry. I imagine they're going to try to work something out with him. But after that, I could see maybe linebacker. You know, there's a fair amount of depth on defense. Again, they got to pay defensive linemen too, though.
Yeah, I know this isn't your draft or mock draft podcast, but as I'm looking at making mine, I was thinking that they should take a receiver with that high pick because I feel like
I agree. I totally agree.
Oh, okay, yeah, good. And then let Keenan Allen roll next year, pick up a compensatory pick, and keep it moving, and have, I guess, whoever's left out of CD or Judy. But anyway.
If there's a market for that sixth pick, I would trade down and take a receiver and a tackle. I'd take a tackle in the first round. This receiver, I wouldn't take Judy probably just because I think tackle is so pressing, but also because this receiver draft is so unreal in the second round. I would love to add someone to that group behind Keenan Allen. The Raiders also need a receiver. They got to go receiver, right? At the top, I mean,
are you pretending like you can predict what they're going to do out there? Like,
we're talking about their needs.
Yeah, okay, got you. Okay, yeah, their needs. I mean, they need a receiver. They picked up Aguilar, who I can't look at his name or see him without thinking about that clip where the guy.
Like Aguilar, I know. You never get it. He's never going to get past that.
It was so
What would it take? How good would he have to be to get past unlike Aguilar at this point? I feel like he would have to be like a top 15 receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, he'd have to get something to replace that memory. Like, he's got to have some big time games in big moments. Because if he has a quiet season, or he has a Pro Bowl level season out there, but since it's the West Coast, we're not going to hear about it much. When he goes to the Pro Bowl, all people are going to say is going to bring up that clip, like, look at his belts back.
Did you see the video? It was somewhere in Philly. It was a guy, an Eagles fan, wearing an Aguilar jersey because he said, that way I won't catch anything. So brutal, man. It's so brutal.
I mean, whatever. So the problem is there's nothing else for us to reference. So we need a big play and a big moment so that when his name comes up, our minds will go to that time he caught that game-winning one-hander in a corner end zone. Not all the jokes.
So I'd go receiver. They got picks too, so they can hit a few.
They need corners. Everyone needs corners all the time.
They need corners. That was my number two position.
For them. They addressed their linebacker deficiency with Littleton, but I don't know. I wrote in pencil on my little notes quarterback because I know that they feel like they need one. I don't know that they're going to address it. Well, they're not going to address it substantively in this draft, but they absolutely aren't happy with their quarterback situation.
They're one of the teams who I think could do a Jordan Love flyer at some point. It all depends on where. Like, to me, I'm going to talk more in depth about the quarterbacks next week, but that's like the crazy upside YOLO, let's see what happens pick. And they're the team where I think, you know, they're going to roll with Carr next year. So they could take a risk on it. But
they
again,
Mariota. They at some point they're going to give Mariota a shot. Like, I don't think they signed him not planning to let him play, at least at some point.
We'll see about that. I also wrote down edge for them.
Yeah. Khalil Mack.
I mean, listen, that trade looks better for them every day, in my opinion.
Oh, no, but, I supported the trade when it happened because I understood that he was out on Carr. That's what it came down to me. Out on Carr, so rebuild. But it's just funny.
I have a great question. I have a great question for you. I have a question for you. no, I actually, this is really fascinating. And I think it pertains to both Derek Carr and Teddy when we get to the Panthers. So this is a team that needs wide receiver. I think, what are they picking, 12th or something? Something pretty high. Anyways, they're going to have their pick of some pretty elite wide receivers. If you've got a quarterback like Derek Carr, do you draft a fast guy hoping that it might cause, no, I'm dead serious. Like,
I know what you're saying.
Incentivize him to throw deep more because he's got a guy who's got getting separation, or knowing his mindset and his propensity to check down and unwillingness to take risks, do you take the yak guy, the sure-handed guy, the route runner who you think can actually, you know, immediately jive with him?
Yeah, you don't take either. You take they don't believe in Derek Carr.
The quarterback.
Yeah, they don't believe in Derek Carr. So you take the better.
You're not drafting for him. Yeah.
No, they're not drafting for Derek Carr. They gave up on Derek Carr already. It appears to me everything that they've done suggests that. And if they were in on Derek Carr, I'd get the one who fits him. He's been in the league long enough now that just because you brought in somebody, you brought in Ruggs, he's not. I mean, he's going to throw it up there, I guess, just because you brought him in. But I don't think you can seduce him by bringing in faster guys and all of a sudden he's going to change who he is.
He's played with fast guys too before.
Yeah, sure.
Like Amari's pretty fast, but yeah.
Nobody as fast as Ruggs.
He's not Ruggs. Ruggs, do not tell me Ruggs is your number one.
He's not my number one. I get seduced by the positions that I don't understand as well. So I look at offensive linemen. I'm like, wow, I don't know so much about this. But those
big man jump
nice.
Far.
Big man can jump.
You see that pool highlight? yeah. Actually, Ruggs is a perfect transition to the final team in the AFC West, which is a team that has been linked with him in just about every mock I've seen.
Yeah.
The Denver Broncos, who do need a wide receiver. To be the number two to Cortland Sutton, who's really emerged as a real number one. I think, you know, he's kind of a breakout star. I think unlike our friends in Oakland, the Broncos do like what they have in Luck. So after wide receiver, I would say offensive line. And what are there any other positions jump out to you?
Yeah, I mean, offensive line, I know that they picked up Bouye when they lost Harris, but I still think corner, and maybe this is my own personal bias, but like I said, almost 80% of the teams I assessed feel like they need to upgrade at corner. So I think that's the same is true there. They had an eventful offseason, I would say, for adding Casey and Melvin Gordon to that team. So they seem to be position himself in a way that suggests that they do believe in Locke and want to give him every chance to win now and find out what they have in him.
Yeah. I like the Casey trade for them. Oh. Yeah, I know. I agree. It's corner for them as well. I think Bryce Callahan was hurt a bit last year,
good.
Right? Yeah. So they got him in the slot as Harris's replacement. And then Bouye, I guess on the other side, it would be, what's his name, Isaac, the guy, kid, Yadam, I don't know if I have. It was a rookie.
Yep.
Yeah, anyways. Yeah, so anyways, that I would upgrade there. Yeah, maybe linebacker, too. I think they're pretty good on the line. But the Broncos can be a really hard team to project next year.
Yeah, I mean, I think their defense is still going to be really good. Like, they're super talented. I still like Chubb and Miller, and they've got awesome safeties. I think Bouye is good enough he's well above average, I would say, corner. He didn't play all that well last year, but I think he is very good. Their defense is going to be good. And if they can give Locke some weapons, they have the running attack. I think they could surprise some people. The tough thing is that division is tough, man. Assuming that the Chargers are able to play up to their talent. And obviously the Chiefs, they're going to take two L's to the Chiefs next year, presumably. Then that's a tough division to really be really excel in.
Yeah, the Raiders are tough to project too.
Yeah.
You know? Like there's no stinkers. I think an equally tough division on the other side, the other conference is the NFC West. So let's go there. Let's start with Arizona. I think both lines? Is that the right answer?
That's absolutely the right answer. I mean, I would have said receiver if it were a month ago, I guess.
Well, how do you feel about them just going all in on receiver, like just being like, screw it, screw tackles. We go five out.
I'm completely in favor of people trying unorthodox things and risking their own jobs. It's not risking my job. If I were to coach a GM, that's not a model. I mean, that's not a model I'd follow. But the kind of air it out offense that we expected, that's not what they ended up doing. They like were one of the better running teams, at least better than they were at passing. But I mean, I think Kyler Murray, the most important thing is Kyler Murray's good. Kyler Murray has like Pro Bowl level potential and they need to address protecting him. Like, that's what stands out to me is tackle. Get a tackle as soon as you possibly can to protect him. And again, this is another team that needs corners because everybody needs corners.
Yeah, I think corners is actually a little bit lower. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Byron Murphy's can take another step forward. Right. Hopefully, you know, I liked him a lot as a prospect. I think their secondary is not bad.
I just think they got Alfred and Peterson, right? And they're both like starting level corners. But I don't know. I guess
I like Buda Baker. I think that I just think this defense is so bad. I think the front seven is so bad that I would put that above the secondary. Like they signed.
My cornerback bias is definitely a problem with this particular team, just this team. But
there are some other teams.
Address the tackle first. I feel like, or address the O-line in general is like there. If you can only pick one position to address, that's the one I would address first.
Yeah, they need a right tackle, and then I think linebacker Hassan Reddick hasn't really worked out for them. They signed Jordan Hicks last year. He wasn't great. Chandler Jones still crushing it, at least. Yeah. But yeah, I think and with the receivers too, I'll add, you know, I imagine they think that Andy Isabella and Christian Kirk will take another, like they've spent so much draft capital on a receiver in recent years. I would be shocked if they go there again. So I imagine this is going to be like their sensible lineman draft.
It's a not fun draft. I mean, they went back to back years on first round quarterback. So.
That's true.
Shocked by anything that they do.
They do not care. So the Rams are interesting. I think the obvious answer is like everyone's going to look at them and say the problem last year was the offensive line. They should draft the offensive line.
That's not where I would go though.
Not where I'd go either. Okay.
Where are you going to go?
I think they need linebackers.
Yep.
And edge.
Okay. Well, they added Floyd, right? I guess that's not.
Nah, they need edge.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say I have linebackers on my list. I have safety on my list. And I do have O-line near the bottom, though. I would address all those things or those positions before I address O-line for them. And yeah, I'm not going to say they need corners. So that's a running theme. I won't say that they do. I mean, they got Ramsey, the best corner, possibly one of the best corners in the league. So they're good there.
Yeah, I would say like later in the draft, they could take a corner. You know, I believe David Long Jr., who they drafted last year from Michigan, I think in the third round is going to be the, you know, sensible starting corner opposite Ramsey. And they lost Nickell Robey-Coleman.
Right.
Who the Eagles signed for nothing, which continues to shock me. But I think the biggest loss in this entire offseason for them was Corey Littleton. And so to me, that's something. And that's an area where they have not spent a ton of draft capital. Lately, like part of the reason I think they're not going to go big on offensive line, unless they truly feel the guys they drafted last year, Bobby Evans and David Edwards, are a lost cause. I don't think they feel that way. I think they're going to expect them to come out and start. So, I think sounds like we're on the same page. I'm curious to see who you've got for Seattle. Hit me.
I didn't put a position. I put a name.
Clowny.
They need a clowny.
I don't know why they just aren't paying.
I don't know. I mean, Russ is in on. I mean, what else do you need? Russ is in on him. Mina Kimes is in on him. What is holding him up? Call Pete up or text him, whatever. I know you got Pete on the text. Let him know to make this move. Stop playing.
I don't know why. Frankly, I don't know. I have no idea what's going on there. It's weird to me that, you know, once it became clear his market was going to be below 20 million. And I think that's pretty clear at this point why Seattle just didn't make it work. But yeah, edge and more edge is really the answer.
Maybe they're in talks with, the Jags. Cause I feel like the Jags I mean, the Jags are out on this coming season, it appears. So
yeah.
Maybe they are trying to get a deal with the Jags before they commit to, Clowney getting Njoku.
I actually think the secondary might be kind of good.
Did I say Njoku? That's the tight end.
Oh, sorry. You were saying about the Seahawks Jags.
Right.
Oh, you said Njoku instead of Ngakoue.
Yes, there it is. My man, Marilyn Terp Ngakoue. I messed it up myself.
Where is Dave Njoku now? He's not on the Browns anymore, right? He was traded.
Yeah, he's still on the Browns.
I thought he was traded. But anyways, let me check that.
He got hurt last year. That's why you think he was traded, because he didn't play.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Oh, and also because, you know what? Because they traded for Hooper, or they signed Hooper, rather. That's why I was going, oh, I guess I'm not playing David Njoku. I think the Seahawks secondary, like, not bad, right?
Yeah,
I mean, Shaq Griffin, Dunbar, Diggs, McDougal, that's like a top secondary.
It was it's a fast turn, because I feel like this was an issue at the beginning of last season. Like, now it seems like one of the strengths of their team. And I really like Dunbar. He was impressive. I don't think he's a name that a lot of people know, because he was in Washington and they haven't been very good. But I really, really – I've liked him for a while now.
Seahawks, sneaky building back
front.
They got
him for a good price.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they extend him. I hope they do.
That's the modern era of football, right? You start in the back now. That's what we're doing.
How Baltimore did it. It's how New England does it. A team that – also doesn't have a lot of holes, the final team in the division, San Francisco.
These transitions are getting weaker by the turn.
Well, I was going to try to transition off the back to front thing, but I was like, I was going to say this is a team that did it the opposite way, because they built their defensive line. Is San Francisco 49. I know. I should have done that. Another wide receiver cornerback team to me.
Yep. Yep. I mean, and I guess they lost DeForest Buckner. So, I mean, you're not going to replace him in the draft. There's nobody out there that you can expect to do that, and they certainly won't be drafting high enough to get someone like that. But, this is a 100% wide receiver DB team, and they're obviously a win-now team, so you need an impact player for them.
Maybe a safety, like a guard. Although their offensive line depth was incredible last year, how some of those guys played. But yeah, no, they're
– I mean, this is a team that has – they have a coach that we really respect and is kind of special. And I think you can draft. And it seems like he's in control there. And John Lynch is getting him the players he wants. But it seems like you can, if he's smart and understands his own strengths and weaknesses, you can draft around his ability. You know what I mean? And I think that part of the reason why the O-line performs so well is not necessarily because they are super talented, but because he can coach running schemes in a way and devise running schemes in a way that put them in the best possible position. So I'm not sure that it's wise, unless you just have a sort of a stud available. I'm not sure that it's wise to expend early draft picks on O-line, unless it's like a real problem. But I feel like he can figure that out, and like running backs and like that sort of stuff. Yeah, he can figure it out.
They've proven they can. The interesting thing about that is, I think sometimes we in nerd Twitter try to extrapolate from that. Like, it's this replicable model, right? Like, like, you can always just, of course your undrafted running back can get 7 yards a carry. It's if Kyle Shanahan's calling the shots, sure. Hey, let's go across the country to a division with a team that does not need cornerbacks, the New England Patriots. Let's say it's the East. They do need wide receivers, although I don't know if they'll go there at the top. So obviously the quarterback is the big question mark for the AFC East. I also wrote down edge. They lost Van Noy, who they were using there, Collins. They lost Nate Shelton. And then they tight end and then receiver.
Yep. Yeah. So I just put quarterback and weapons is what I wrote down. I think the edge is an important point. I didn't consider that, because what they lost were
They also don't
inside linebackers who play defensive end on pass rush downs, essentially. But yeah, they don't play defense in a conventional way. So I didn't think about that, because I'm looking at their team and their defense was awesome and they lost some guys, but I don't know, their defense didn't seem to be built on one particular performer. So the issues that they have our last year on offense, and it only got worse.
Mm. Yeah. And that's another one where, like, when we think it's similar to the Niners, where the Patriots are kind of like on defense, right? The Niners are on offense, where like it's so much more about scheme than talent. You wonder, is it worth it to them to invest a high draft pick at the edge, in that position?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, they always like, it seems to me that, and I think this still holds true, is that they are always leaders in the league and like middle-aged guys, not literally middle-aged, but like middle-aged in football years. And a lot of teams will pay a lot of money for stars and they try to fill out their roster with guys in the first 4 years of their contract and rookie deals. And the Patriots on defense in particular, because they are like, so they adjust their scheme week to week and do complicated things. They are more leaning towards like not super high paid guys, but guys right. with some experience. So I don't even know that if you get a rookie that, unless he's some sort of game breaker, that he is all that valuable in the way that they run their defense at this point.
Exactly. Whereas like you could see them, well, I mean, I guess they expect Harry, who was their first round pick last year, to take a step forward, but it's also just so hard. Yeah. I was about to say like, oh, it's so hard for like a young wide receiver to develop chemistry with Tom. Oh, right. Tom's not there.
Oh.
So it's kind of, it makes it a little harder to, without knowing who's playing quarterback there, I'm struggling to wrap my mind around that offense, which has been mutable without Brady. So it's a little bit hard to pick, but they do need.
Are they going to be bad last year? Are you going to go on the record and say that they're going to be bad next year? Is that going to happen?
Depends who the quarterback is.
He's in the building right now.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to be bad. I just don't think they're going to be good. And they'll be just average.
Okay.
Don't
division.
Try to bait me in a top pick. I think the Bills will win the division. Let's talk about the Bills.
Ooh,
next.
Another great transition. They're getting better.
That's a deep team. I wrote Edge.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, they're a blitzing team also, but I got tight end also, but I mean, doesn't seem like necessarily a glaring need, but this was one of the teams that fell in there. Like the Saints, I think, is another team who you look at their roster and you're like, it's pretty rough. Good.
Yeah. Or it's rough for people who do not root for them. Yeah. I think with the Bills, you're looking at depth.
Quarterback? No, not quarterback.
Stop. I think you're looking at depth. I think you're looking at, I actually have no idea who Josh Allen's backup is at this point. Who is it? I feel like somebody came in. Anyways, you're looking, I would say depth wise, guard, corner, linebacker positions I wrote down, like just kind of looking at their depth charts, but not, you know, for starters.
I think that Matt Barkley and Davis Webb is who's on the roster
right
now.
Matt Barkley. Edge. I thought they would pay an edge rusher because they had so much cap space. But they, I mean, again, like all these teams, like I thought would go after Clowney. It's not just Seattle, but another team that needs edge and weapons and protection is the New York Jets. Makes me sad.
Yeah.
Out of those three things, what would you prioritize? They gotta be picking.
I put receiver first. Their receiving core was not very good last year, and it got worse when they lost Robbie Anderson free agency to Carolina. So that seemed like the most glaring hole. And I think maybe also I'm biased by the fact that I know that that can be addressed at some point in this draft because of how deep it is. So I assume that they're going to use at least their first pick, assuming there are some good receivers left, which there should be. They're going to use it there.
Yeah, they made some improvements to the offensive line. I've talked enough about the George Fant contract, which they can get out of after a year. I did like the Connor McGovern signing, but I got to think they would still try to target that pretty high in the draft. I think Adoga's on the right side, Chuma Adoga. So yeah, tackle or guard, quite frankly. And then I guess it's funny, the defense, like I think outside of edge, I mean, they could certainly add at every position, but I think the other areas we talked about are just so much more dire that I don't think those are massive areas of need. All right. Final team in the AFC East, your Miami Dolphins.
Love them. They got a lot of holes, too.
They got the culture, They got the culture, Dominique.
They do. I respect it and love it. I'm a big Dolphins fan, and especially since they went and got two corners. I am a Dolphins fan.
They are. They are doing what we discussed. They are building from the back.
Exactly. I respect the Dolphin or the Dolphins because I'm a Dolphin. I'm all in on the Dolphins. I was opposed to what I thought the Dolphins were doing. And then I realized that they weren't doing what I thought they were doing. So I love the Dolphins.
How good is the secondary? I'm a fan. Are they like one of the better secondaries in the NFL?
I mean, there's certainly one of the more talented secondaries in the NFL. We'll see how it pans out this coming season because you need a lot of other people to make sure that pans out or to make sure it works out. But they have two great corners and, I mean, they got playmakers at safety, but I mean, they're one of the best. There are obviously secondaries that are better than them. Like off the top of my head, the Ravens are, my God, they're deep in the secondary and obviously the Patriots, but I don't know. It's hard to think of any other group or any other pair of corners that are better than the two that they have down there.
So I have every other position, basically, outside of secondary. I think, actually.
O-line.
Yeah.
They O-line. Got Trey Flowers, though. They said it, O-line. Don't worry.
Ted cares. The lines. Actually, you know, at linebacker, they signed Van Noy, I think. Safety. There will be. I think it's really the D-line and then everything on offense, basically.
Quarterback. You're in on the Fitzmagic.
No, I want them to draft Tua.
Okay,
Tua. I think partially because they're going to be too good this year to get Lawrence or Fields. Like this is their window. They've got the assets. Yep. They're in the spot. I like Tua a lot. I'm trying not to talk about the prospects, but I finished the quarterbacks. I don't know if you've been watching them, and you know, to me the contrast between him and Herbert. I mean,
yeah, it's not even close.
It's shocking, right? Like, it's jarring.
I was on Get Up this morning, and apparently Mel Kiper said that the Dolphins are considering taking Herbert at 4. And I was like, "This, we're not doing this. We're not talking about this because if that's malpractice, they're not even close." But I mean, not at 4, at 5. I mean, I assume that's just like
smoke. God,
yeah, it has to be.
I don't know, man. That's I don't know. All right, let's do the NFC East.
All right.
Who do you think? Let's start with who you think is the best team in the NFC East.
Washington.
No, you don't.
Of course not. I mean, I think
I haven't talked in a while.
I think the Eagles are probably the best team. I mean, Dallas has lost Frederick and Byron Jones, who has gone down to Miami to make that great those great corner pair down there. They haven't gotten more talented. I guess the change in coaching staff might make you feel a little bit more comfortable and confident. And they kept the offensive coaching staff because their offense was in really Dallas. Good. Yeah, in Dallas. But I think
not a good season. Everything coaching staff.
Yeah, absolutely not. But I mean, the offensive scheme is not changing, but the defense is definitely changing. And they don't necessarily have the proper personnel for Mike Nolan's defense just yet. But I mean, they have enough talent on defense to be okay. But
sounds like you want to talk about the Cowboys. So
No. I want to talk about the Eagles. Best team, okay. Eagles. Let's talk about the Eagles. I like everything about the way the Eagles run their organization, and they addressed their biggest concern through free agency and picking up Slay and Roby Coleman to address their cornerback issues. I think they could use some like interior linemen and some sort of depth at tackle or potentially a replacement at tackle for Jason Peters. And I think their biggest issue is that probably receiver.
Receiver, yeah. I think they're the team that like people would link with Ruggs, but I don't think Ruggs is going to fall there because he's not going to pass Denver necessarily. But they need that speed. Since, bizarrely, Alshon Jeffrey is still on the Eagles.
Yeah, that's so shocking to me.
It's wide receiver for them. I wrote down linebacker as well.
Yeah, me too.
I like the secondary. They re-signed also quietly. They re-signed Rodney McLeod for 2 years, which I really liked. So they have a lot of consistency there in addition to some new talent. But yeah, it's receiver. And then maybe depth on the offensive line, you know, if it gets to that. Because Andre Diller is going to step up now for Peters and play left tackle. But
right. We hope. That's why I said depth. But yeah.
Yeah. What about Dallas then? You know, they're, I agree. With
yeah.
It's 1A, 1B for me. Like, right. And I think Dallas is kind of weird right now. They're kind of hard to put your mind around.
They are hard to pin down, and they have the contract situation with the quarterback. I think they probably need to address the interior or the center position, I guess, because as I understand it, Travis Frederick's retirement was a bit of a surprise, but they're not going to find necessarily a replacement for him in the draft. I don't think there is a center out there that's anywhere close to him that's coming out in the draft. But that jumps out at me. And obviously, again, everyone needs cornerbacks. They lost their cornerback in Byron Jones, so it's a position that they need to address. I know they added Clinton Dix, mm-hmm. safety back there. So that was, came out of nowhere for me also. I didn't even expect that to be, it wasn't on the radar for me necessarily. So I think cornerback, get some corners.
Yeah, I wrote down corner as well. I thought that was, they like Joe Looney, who filled in for Frederick last year at the center position. They've got Connor McGovern too, but I think corner. And then I wrote edge ? Because I don't know, they have Aldon Smith, maybe Randy Gregory, maybe. They signed Gerald McCoy and Dontari, Malik Collins left.
That's kinda, those guys have played inside, right?
Yeah. But I was going to say that the tackle is another position where I'm kind of, they both did not play super great last year in Carolina, but, and then the other thing I added, was maybe ? Wide receiver, but, I think it's mostly corner and edge. I think it's mostly defense. I think, obviously they've got Gallup and behind Cooper, and they could use another weapon for Dak. They like Blake Jarwin a lot. I'm hearing so. So the Skins are ostensibly going to take Chase Young at number 2 overall. Otherwise, I had written down edge. Beyond that, with Trent Williams on his way out, maybe whatever tackle, and then I also wrote down receiver.
Yep, no disagreement with me on there. Like, I think I have the same opinion. Tackle jumped out at me because I'm assuming they're going to move Trent because he really did sit out an entire season, and I believe he'll do it again. So they might as well try to get something for him at this point and try to replace him, especially since there are some good tackles in this draft.
They need a tight end too, by the way, with Jordan Reed.
You're not riding with Sprinkle Me?
Oh, right. Sprinkle. Yeah.
Jeremy Sprinkle Me, baby.
Is he good?
I mean, he's not Reed at he's not a healthy Reed. He's okay though. Like he's fine. I mean, he's not I wouldn't say that they were set at that position.
Corner also. They with Dunbar gone. I mean, they brought Kendall Fuller back, but I think that's another area.
And they picked up Darby too, right?
Yes.
I think so.
So, I think so, yeah. So the last team, the Giants. again, the lines, I mean, not inside. I think tackle and edge is that jumps out to me.
21st century general manager. Get one of those.
So he is in like the most fascinating spot in the draft.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do when you have the GM who doesn't trade down but is potentially in the catbird seat?
Yeah, so
for a team really needs the picks.
Exactly. And he's in that position, the thing that you and I always talk about, where his timeline is not aligned with the team's necessary. They need to have success this year for him to save his job. He needs to draft someone who's going to impact that team immediately. They need multiple picks. So the best thing for them to do, if I were like the owner of the team and had that long-term view, is try to trade back and try to call up San Diego and get them to try to jump in front of the Dolphins and then have them bidding against each other to try to end up getting 2 of the Dolphins' first round picks and move on from there. But that's not what's going to happen.
You think you're smarter than Dave Gettleman, but you just said you'd call San Diego. No one's picking up in San Diego, Dominique.
All right. That's why I'm in here recording with you. How many times do you think Dave Gettleman calls them San Diego?
Let's take a quick break. Life today is kind of a lot. It forces us to always be on. But every now and then, it's important to just stop, crack open a Mountain Cold Coors Light, and chill. So when you choose to turn off, choose the one beer that's made to chill. Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment. Made to chill. Coors Light is brewed with a 3-step cold process. Cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. So it's actually made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans turn blue when they are chilled to perfection. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978, Coors Light is refreshing, crisp, and only 102 calories. That's why Coors Light is the one to choose when you need a moment of chill. So when you want to reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. You can have Coors Light delivered by going to get.coorslight.com and finding local delivery options near you. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. All right, we are back. We are rolling. We are halfway through the NFL.
All right, let's go.
Let's do the NFC North. How about that?
Okay.
Who's the best? Let's start with who. Well, see, now I'm cheating because I'm trying to get more content out of you, which is I'm not just asking you who you think the needs are. I'm like telling you to rank the teams. So I'm not going to do that just yet. Let's start with a team that clearly needs cornerbacks, the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
Corner and wide receiver, another team.
Yeah, I mean, I think they obviously lost Diggs, so they need to address that situation because I don't know what Thielen is without Diggs because we've never really seen that on an extended basis. So, yeah, I think they need to address that in corner. Yeah, they lost both of their corners in Rhodes and Wayne. So, and that team is a team, that scheme at least with Zimmer is a scheme that relies heavily on a cornerback. So I don't know what the hell they're going to do.
I wonder what kind of wide receiver they go for. You could really, I mean, pairing with Thielen, you could kind of go really in any direction. I just really hope they take a wide receiver and, you know, don't let Mike Zimmer take five cornerbacks.
Yes, let Mike Zimmer take five cornerbacks. I honestly think that they are, well, I don't know what they're going to do with their scheme, but if they don't have corners, they are not a good team. I'm telling you, it's more important for them to get cornerbacks than it is for them to get receivers, especially since Mike Zimmer made the decision a few years ago that they were going to go back to being a run heavy team, run and play action. If they don't get corners, they're in trouble.
New coordinator also with the last name Zimmer, not a coincidence.
Nepotism.
It's a shared defensive coordinator thing, right? It's him and what's his name has been there forever. Andre, it's like their DBs. Very professional. Anyways, the Bears.
I should have been able to help you out there, but I couldn't remember.
That's okay. You can look it up now while I talk about the Bears. Corners, actually. It. Shoot, Bears. I wrote corners. Yeah. Let me ask you this about the Bears. Would you draft a quarterback?
No.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense for their timeline. Yeah. That would be next year.
Yeah, they have a lot tied up in that position. They are a team that we think about as having a rookie quarterback situation, but they have committed with that trade. They've committed to veteran quarterback money, so that's a tough spot to be in to have squandered that opportunity. So, yeah, they need their win-now team, and they got worse. They lost a lot of good players off that defense, which was kind of the only reason why I think that they could potentially excel with mediocre to slightly above average quarterback play, which is the best you can hope for with the quarterbacks that they have. So,
I don't agree with that. I think with Nick Foles, he's such a wild card. You could, if we're talking about the range is massive, right?
Right.
But with him, you are always, you have such a high variance situation. Like he could be great. You just never know with Nick Foles. I don't love it as a signing for that reason, but you know, if we're talking about the range of possibilities for Chicago, I think I think more likely than not, you're going to get an upgrade, first of all, over last year.
Okay.
Not hard. And yeah, I think he could be good. I think, guard is something that jumped out for an unsexy area that they need to with, Kyle Long having retired. Right. Quiet, especially with Nick Foles, you know, back there. They need to address the line, maybe tackle too, honestly, for some depth. But yeah, so I wrote guard and corners jumped out to me.
I mean, they brought in Artie Burns, who I don't know is a starting corner in the NFL necessarily, at least that was the replacement for Prince Amukamara. And they also brought in Jimmy Graham for way too much money.
Terrible.
Which is interesting. Fine. Yeah.
They've basically just gotten worse in every position of the secondary every year since their really good year. Like every year, like you know, Prince, he's like, okay, you know, that's fine. And you lose him and then you bring in Artie Burns. It's not like horrible, but it's gotten worse. I think both
Andre Patterson, that's the guy, D-line coach. He was one of the coaches when I played in Atlanta. He was one of the coaches that was down there. I should have been able to remember that. And apparently Dom Capers is still on the staff. He's a senior defensive assistant for the Vikings. All right,
speaking,
keep moving.
Speaking of Dom Capers, I think the Packers are not going to go defense at all. not that they're not going to go defense. I think that's low on the list of priorities. I would go, I mean, everyone's pointing to the weapons for Rodgers, receiver, tight end also.
Yep.
They need tackle depth. They did sign Rick Wagner.
Place Bulaga.
But yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty offense heavy draft for them need wise.
Yeah, I think that's where they have the most need. And I think that's where they should go. I think you could look at, you know, they lost Martinez and brought in Kirksey to replace him. So you could look at the linebacker spot. And I don't think that that is nearly as important as the issues that they have on the offense with helping out Aaron Rodgers with some weapons as he ages.
Yeah, especially like in the games where teams are able to lock down Devontae Adams, unlike my Seattle Seahawks. you certainly saw the absence of a true number two. All right, last team in the division is the Detroit Lions.
Right.
Are you giving them Okuda?
Absolutely, they're going to take Okuda. They better take Okuda because I don't want them to mess up my mock. And he is a very, 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 very good corner. Like, I feel like he has the potential to be great, but when I watch him play, like, I feel like there is no bust potential. He plays all coverages, man, zone, press. He's aggressive, and he was when he ran 4.48. He plays faster than that, it seems, on the field. I really, really like Okuda, and that defense, the defense that they run there, is one that puts a lot of pressure on corners. Like, you need corners to be able to play. So they have they signed Trufant, and they need somebody opposite Trufant so that they can do all the things that they want to do.
Yeah, they signed a lot of players on defense, right? In addition to Trufant, Dron Harmon, I like that signing actually. Danny Shelton, Jamie Collins. Pretty much every former Patriot they get their hands on. But I do think they still need to draft corner. I agree. Linebacker, defensive tackle, hell, maybe even edge. So I think to me, it's a pretty defense heavy need given some of the position losses there and kind of what they lost snacks. They cut snacks, too, as well. So yeah, I like Shelton though. I think that's a pretty decent replacement and not a terrible contract either. But yeah, I would go pretty defense heavy. For Detroit. All right, well, let's go to the AFC North.
Dope.
I feel like I said AFC North and then I ended up talking about the NFC North. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, I know. It was like a delay.
Did I do that?
You did, because I went there and I was about to yell Baltimore and then you yelled something else and I was confused.
I don't know. It's been a long quarantine. okay. I actually think the best team is clearly Baltimore, so we should start there.
Interior linebacker they need to address, but the rest of the defense is so, so good. Like, somehow they added Calais Campbell and Derek Wolfe to that defensive line. The secondary is loaded and versatile. So, like, I don't know. Like, I think what they need, or they absolutely do need some inside linebackers, but I'm not sure that'd be the most impactful necessarily. I also think they could use some pass rushers because
that's what I wrote. Edge.
Yeah. They blitz. They're a blitz heavy team, but it's a blitz out of necessity, which is always going to be high risk, high reward. It paid off a lot for them last year, but if they could somehow be able to mix in some real legitimate pass rush and get somebody to rush the passer without creating overloads, then that would take that defense to the next level. And then I think they still need some more receivers. That playoff game against the Titans really exposed the receiver issues they had there.
I wrote edge and receiver and maybe linebacker and then, like a Yanda replacement. But I want to ask you about receiver. Like, what kind of receiver would you like for them to target?
Well, Hollywood's a big play guy. He can give a short catch and take it the distance, and he also can get behind people. I mean, I guess that leaves someone else who's like a move to change, reliable, third down, not as fast, bigger body guy would be something that you would hope for. Obviously, yeah. CeeDee Lamb's not going to be there at that late, but he's somebody who I think has the ability to do all that stuff and also can beat you over the top. Even though he's not blazing fast, he can beat you over the top. I'd love to see him there, but that's not going to happen with somebody like him.
I could see them going for like a T. Higgins too, depending on.
Yeah. T. Higgins is, that's a good thought.
The Steelers is interesting. When I was going through the team, they're really good.
Yeah.
That defense is good.
He's so good.
Yeah. And they did a couple of nice things in free agency too. They brought on Stefan Wisniewski, who you mentioned, adding some nice depth on an aging offensive line. I liked the Ebron signing. Super cheap. So I don't really think they have a ton of work to do on the offense. I think on the defense, they tagged Bud Dupree, but I would like them to go edge, perhaps. Right. I think the secondary is in pretty good shape. I don't know. What do you think?
I think they're another team that's pretty good all around. Obviously, their quarterback situation is good for now and a little bit uncertain. We'll see what happens coming back from an elbow surgery, how good Ben Roethlisberger is. I don't know about Smith-Schuster as a number one and with no one opposite him. So that's another area that they could address.
Yeah.
Another area that they could address. But yeah, I think overall this roster is pretty good. They bring back a good quarterback, then this team is a title contender.
I'm glad you brought up the quarterback because I probably should have mentioned that. I think not in the draft per se, but I think they got the answer last year. They don't have it behind Ben. To me, this seems like an obvious team to bring on Cam or Jameis if either of them would be willing to do that. God knows it would get salty in that quarterback room and be extremely passive aggressive. But I don't know. That seems like the kind of roster that would be perfect for that.
Yeah. I mean, I think Ben Roethlisberger is the best case scenario for Jameis Winston as far as style of play is concerned.
He's awkward comparison. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they have a lot of other awful things in common too. But
that's why I actually wonder if that would stop them from doing it, because it'd just be like, really, y'all? Like, really?
Yeah.
So the Browns were pretty active in free agency. Didn't have a good transition, but I don't care. I'm motoring through this. So they addressed the tackle position. I think they still need to address the tackle position.
Yes, that's I was going to say the tackle position has not been adequately addressed in my view.
Yeah, that would be the first number one thing. Other than that, I would say just kind of the defense at every level, they could either add depth. They need a safety, linebacker, whatever, but tackle. They need another left tackle. They need the left tackle of the future there.
Agreed. I think they need a left tackle. And I mean, they still are super talented as far as weapons are concerned. So there's nothing else to address on offense except for tackle, in my view. I think cornerback and also linebacker. And you're right, safety. So, yes.
Cornerback, really?
You
don't think Denzel and Greedy are?
No. That is a glaring mistake. I just say cornerback for everybody. I forgot about Greedy. I knew Denzel was there.
It's okay.
I knew Denzel was there, but I forgot about Greedy. I take that back completely. Greedy and Denzel. I like Greedy and Denzel. I apologize. You know,
I don't think this other team needs cornerbacks either. I think the Bengals, I think that is who went out and signed both those Vikings. I don't think they're great, but given like the needs on this team, that's low on my list behind obviously quarterback and then guard. I think they've got tackles, linebacker, another receiver for young Burrow. Those would be where I would target.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with any of that. I think they're above average as far as corners are concerned. So I don't think that's something that needs to be addressed. And I like that we always have to speak to the cornerback position as if it's the quarterback position now with every team.
We're starting every team, but do they need cornerbacks?
Are they set at corner? I like how we changed the football paradigm. But yeah, I agree with you. And they're going to be bad next year. So there's that.
NFC South.
Well,
we're down to two divisions.
No, let's slow it down. Let's spend some more time on the Bengals. All right. Where are we going? We're going to the South.
Let's do the Panthers. I think they need corners. I wrote corners. Honestly, there's a lot of areas in need on that. The whole defense, really. Maybe not edge, but tackle, yeah. Corner, tackle, linebacker. Yeah. They need a new tight end on the offense. Maybe the inside of the offensive line. I think they just need. I think that they're going to want to rebuild that defense from the ground up.
Agreed. I think they need a lot of help. And I mean, I know they even, I can't disagree with you on anything you said about defense, but even though they made some free agent signings on offense to address tackle and receiver, I guess they traded for a tackle and Okun and they signed Robbie Anderson as a receiver. I still think those are positions that need to be addressed for some long-term solution, because I don't think Russell Okun is the long-term solution at tackle, and they don't think Robbie Anderson is the long-term solution at receiver, considering they gave him a 2-year, $20 million deal. So it appears to me that they still need to address those areas, but you're right. And don't worry, we make mistakes. It's fine. No one's still listening at this point. We're on to like hour three by now.
Okay. Two bizarrely deep teams. Both the Saints and the Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
So deep. Oh, yeah. And the Bucks, the Saints are a given. We can talk about them in a second. But, like, the Bucks, I was just like, tackle. They need to tackle. Yeah. I mean, I guess they get in a running back, you know, guard. I don't know. But, like.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say tackle only. That's the only one. I think tackle is on a different level than any of their other needs. I think we're reaching for most of their other needs. And I don't even think tackle is, like, awful. But I think everything is through the Tom Brady prism at this point. Yep. And I think he's a quarterback that you need to protect at this point. So I think that's why I'm thinking about that. And running backs that can pass pro, which not sure that they have that necessarily. But yeah, that's where I would start. Any other needs are like further down on the list.
Dominic, there's a special position I think the Saints need for that.
What's that?
It's cornerback. Eli Apple's gone.
Yep.
I mean, this is to me as much a reflection just how deep this team is.
Yeah.
I mean, linebacker, I guess.
I mean, they brought in Kiko Alonso, but Kiko is not bad. I don't know. I mean, I don't have anything written. I have Saints and then nothing's next to
corner,
it.
Corner, right? I mean,
yeah, I guess I really like Lattimore. I like Williams too, but.
Was Williams, did they re-sign him? What's his?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, all right. So I mean,
they got Janoris Jenkins, who like I think is above average.
They restructured with him, I saw the other day. So yeah, I guess I think that they should find the cornerback of the future to play opposite. I mean, honestly, I guess quarterback, right? Yeah. Speaking of the future. So maybe that's.
But no, they got Taysom Hill. Don't worry.
Great Jordan Love team. That's a fun Jordan Love team.
You didn't hear me. I said Taysom Hill. Don't worry.
Oh, I heard you. final team in the AFC, the NFC is the Atlanta Falcons, which is not deep.
What's their quarterback situation like, Mina?
It's not great, Dominique. It's not
there
great.
We go.
other than linebacker, I think every position on defense is
a shambles. Yeah, I'm with you.
You're just going defense. I'm going defense across the board.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, they need corners. They need. They lost Vic Beasley, and not even like Vic Beasley was like playing all that well. But they lost and tried to replace him with Fowler. I guess they got Jarrett, so he's good on the inside. But other than that,
he's their only good.
They need a lot of help. Yeah, on defense. Yeah, and I mean their offense is, assuming everybody is back and healthy and plays well. Like I feel like they have enough talent on offense. Todd Gurley, what you gonna get out of Todd Gurley?
We don't know because he's not on the team yet, but they have invested a lot in that offensive line too. So I think they're still hoping that that those draft picks work out. The final division in Dominique and Mina's team needs review is the AFC South. Let's start with the Colts, a team that is pretty deep. And I think it's a pretty obvious position to target, and that's wide receiver. And tight end, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
pass catcher.
So you've given up on their other receiver options opposite T.Y.?
No.
Because they went after
Paris like
Campbell was there.
I still like him.
You don't think he's the number two?
I still like Paris Campbell, but I think, I mean, you know, he wasn't, I like him as a complimentary piece, but he wasn't even like a, he didn't even like run routes in college. Like, I mean, yeah. You know, he.
So you see him as like a, I don't know who we like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of an example of somebody, well, but.
I mean, worst case scenario, he's like Tavon Austin, but.
Yeah.
I think I'm not writing him off. I just think for Rivers, they need like a, you know, a possession guy who he can trust in the short and intermediate area of the field. I don't know where they don't have the 13th pick anymore, but the wide receiver draft is so deep. They should be able to get a day one starter. And then tight end after that, maybe edge. I know that they obviously brought in Buckner. But I think the defensive line.
Yeah. I mean, the defensive line is Buckner, and they got Houston. It's a good start. I mean, Darius Leonard, the linebacker, has played through a lot of injuries last year, but he's pretty much as good as it gets at linebacker. I mean, Xavier Rhodes at corner. I mean, he was not very good last year, but I guess maybe you think he's going to rekindle something?
Take a flyer, yeah. Yeah, I guess corner as well. They could target corner too. The Jacks need everything.
Facts.
What's a position they don't need?
Fun. They got Minshew. He's the captain of fun. They got that.
I don't think they're going to take a quarterback. I mean, I wouldn't take a quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to take a quarterback either. I mean, I guess they're in. You talk about edge players. Like, they're set at their two edge players.
That's true. Edge is the lowest.
Yannick and Josh Allen.
But yeah, I mean, I guess prioritizing.
Fingers crossed for Yannick to end up in Seattle.
Depends. And they signed Joe Schobert, so I guess, I mean, Miles Jack took kind of a step back. But it all depends on where they pick in the draft. Like, I would prioritize. It's really hard to say. I guess, yeah. Corner, frankly. Hey, don't look. Who are the starting cornerbacks for the Jacksonville Jaguars? You're not allowed to look.
Melvin, Herndon, Hayden.
I feel like you're looking.
I'm not looking, but I have like, looked recently.
I feel like you're looking. God, what a come down for that secondary. They were so good in 2017. It's wild.
You could have gotten me if you just asked for some first names.
You know who the Jacksonville Jaguars could really use in the draft as they rebuild? A game-changing, team-defining cornerback who can play multiple schemes and is one of the greatest college cornerbacks in the history of Florida State. That would be a really great pick for
that would work out. Jalen Ramsey. It's a different
Go
back in time and get him.
It's pretty much every position, I guess, but yeah, it's more like what do they not need? I agree. Edge, maybe receiver like DJ Chark, that would be a little bit lower. I guess their offensive line isn't in that terrible shape, so yeah. Sad. Titans are weird, man. When I did the Titans for this exercise, I found myself a lot lower on them.
Yep. Me too. I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was surprised. I mean,
they've lost some guys.
Yeah. I guess they're put it all on Tannehill's shoulders in the coming season. Tannehill and that offense, because the defense I feel like is depleted and they haven't replaced the guys that they lost. So I don't expect it. And the defense was very good last year. I don't expect them to bounce back.
Edge. I could see them going edge. Offensive line, you know, having lost Conklin. They guard too, frankly. They should bolster that area. They need a tight end. Cameron Wake was weirdly productive as hell last year.
Who?
Cameron Wake is like 30.
Oh, yeah.
He's still so productive.
39 is not that old.
We know the Titans have a tight end, that gigantic guy.
Donnie Smith.
Yeah. I forgot that. Yeah, I'd say defense, edge,
is the big area for them. Edge, Simmons is going to be healthy again. I would say Edge, and then maybe the offensive line. Yeah, we'll see. All right, final team, the Houston Texans.
My beloved Texans. So
I already used my wide receiver joke on Jalen Ramsey. It would have worked perfectly for this team.
You wasted your patented Beta Prime misdirection joke.
I know.
I feel like you start 70% of your podcast with Amina Khan's misdirection joke.
Did you see, oh my God, that article about college football coaches complaining about defensive players faking their injuries because offenses are too tricky now? And then that coach, anonymous coach, complaining about teams using misdirection, how it's not fair. He was like, sometimes they overload their wide receivers on one side. It's really confusing. It's an amazing quote. The Texans are a classic corner and wide receiver team.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of wide receivers. They just don't have a number one wide receiver.
They have good wide receivers, too. Like,
yeah, I know, but they don't have a number one.
He's good.
Yeah.
I think wide receiver, corner, edge, huge need for them, D-line. I'd say those are the three biggest areas of need.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with any of that. I guess their D-line isn't what it once was. And yeah, the cornerback position is something that they have not addressed in a long time. And I think trying to, I guess, fix it with Gary Unconley is not going to be the answer necessarily. So yeah, I think that jumps out to me. I know I've used it a bunch, but it's true for a lot of teams. So get some corners, guys.
Speaking of answers, five more questions. Let's take a break.
No, I refuse.
Is there something that's interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? If so, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who are specialized in issues such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, self-esteem, and more. Connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. Anything you share is confidential, and it's so convenient. Get help at your own time and at your own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with a therapist. If you are not happy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time at no additional charge. Best of all, it's a truly affordable option, and listeners get 10% off your first month with the discount code Mina. So why not start today? Go to betterhelp.com/Mina. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. BetterHelp.com/Mina.
And now it's time for Dinks and Dunks. I'm getting paid for this, right?
Did you try to refuse to do Dinks and Dunks?
I tried, but I felt bad.
You can do quick answers. Question one.
All right, quick answers. My family's waiting for me.
What? They get enough of you right now. Question number one. What's a hobby you've picked up during the quarantine?
Podcasting. Marathon podcasting. Next question.
Who's in your draft prep? Who's a prospect you've gotten excited about?
Okuda. I love corners. He's awesome. Next question.
Wow. Really giving us the content. You can't get it anywhere else. Question three. Who's going to be better next year? The Bucks or the Pats?
Bucks. Next question.
Yeah, I know you're going to get the next question. Okay, I'm sure you've been seeing these memes going around with, like, which quarantine house would you pick? Like, whatever, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it sucks when you're on one and it's like you're with, like, Skip Bayless and you're like, no one's going to pick my house! All right, my question for you is, which three ESPNers would you want in your quarantine house?
I See, you're waiting. You asked me this question and actually involves people that I know and care about. And
you don't have to choose the people you like the best. You can be pragmatic about it. You can choose like someone who would cook, someone who would entertain, that kind of
thing. I mean, I can cook for myself. I can entertain myself. I just want people who leave me alone. Who doesn't like to talk to people? I guess none of us.
I can give you people that will take off air.
Yeah, Stephen A. Stephen A. don't want to talk. No, actually, Stephen A. wants to talk all the time.
To you. This is going off the rails. Just pick three people. You didn't even answer.
All right. You, Greenberg, Pablo. There we go.
I feel like an accurate answer.
Yeah, it's not accurate at all.
Lenny just has one question. He wants to know how you feel after spending 2 hours of your life on a podcast that you're not even getting paid for.
Empty.